Welcome back to the second hour of the Power Hour radio program. I'm your host on Wednesdays and Fridays for the foreseeable future, Karen Cataline, commentator, columnist, all-around rabble-rouser. And constantly my eyes go buggy when I see and watch what is going on in this country as we speak. And under the heading of Use It or Lose It, we like to use our rights to free expression while we still can, because the antidote to censored speech is more speech. The antidote to speech you don't like is more speech. That's America. So we are going to move right into our very next guest. I've been talking to him off air, and it's a topic that has been critically important right now, and one that I was just talking to my husband about a day and a half ago. And that is this. Have you heard that U.S. farmland is being bought by the ultra wealthy investors like Bill Gates? We hear it. Nobody ever, did you hear that 100 families own about 42 million acres across the country of farmland? The amount of land owned by these families has jumped 50%, and Bill Gates is buying up farmland. Here to talk about that and a whole lot more and help us put it all together is Misha Popoff, author of the critically acclaimed book, Is It Organic? He earned a BA from the University of Saskatchewan, where he specialized in the history of nitrogen for fertilizer and warfare. He then worked as an advanced organic farm and process inspector, inspecting over 500 organic farms and processing facilities. I could go on. We won't have any time to talk to him. He now works as a public speaker, a political columnist, and a radio host. Welcome to the Power Hour radio program, Misha Popoff.
Hi, Karen. Good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. Thank you for your time. So, Misha, we keep hearing that Bill Gates is buying up farmland in America. Number one, is it true? And number two, why do you think that's happening?
Yeah, it's definitely true. He's buying up farmland. I think what he's going to do is use it actually to grow bugs to feed us insects. And they go on and on. Yep, I'm not kidding. And they go on and on about how you can produce something like, it's either 10 or 100 times the protein per acre if you're raising crickets as opposed to, say, beef. And what they don't tell you is, yeah, but those crickets need anything in the neighborhood of 10 to 100 times more land to grow the feed. I mean, you got to feed the crickets, right? They don't just live there on that acre that maybe you've enclosed so they don't hop away or blow away in the wind. So I think that's what he's doing. But to back up, yeah, it's totally true. There's definitely a move afoot to take control of our food system. And I would just say this, Karen, before handing it back, is Bill Gates, he's the largest one we know of, because he has no shame. He'll operate above board. Meanwhile, the Chinese are buying up farmland through shell companies. Mm. And they recently bought, get this, 200 square miles of ranch land in southern Texas, that's right along the border and right next to an Air Force base, ironically enough. So
we know. With the help of traders in this country.
Yes.
Who've been doing the bidding of communist China, allowing them to do it.
Yeah, they did it through intermediaries. You're absolutely right. So the ranchers thought they were selling their land to another American. And then it turned out that American was just acting as the broker. Mm. So yeah, Bill Gates, we can stick with him, but I would throw the Chinese Communist Party in there as well. But he's definitely has something up his sleeve. And again, whatever he's going to do, even if I'm wrong, we've all heard about this dream of feeding us insect protein as opposed to animal protein. We've all heard about that. And again, the only way he can do that is by growing food to feed to those insects. But whatever he's doing, Karen, whatever the plan is here, it's going to lead into the full industrialization of agriculture, something I talk about in my book, Is It Organic? And that really leads to the overuse and the abuse of Roundup. Everyone knows of Roundup as a weed killer. Mm-hmm. Well, that's old news. That's 50-year-old news, and people can argue about whether it causes cancer or not. But when used before you seed the crop, you know, that's the weed killer, it can't possibly get into the food unless you're talking like parts per trillion. But what's happening, Karen, and this is the only way Bill Gates and the Chinese could manage such large parcels of land, is they're using it on the other end for harvest. And you think, well, how do you use a weed killer for harvest? Well, you use it to force ripen the crop. And force ripening is, of course, a euphemism. You're not force ripening the crop. You're killing it, just like you killed the weeds in the spring before you seeded the crop. So when you move to that model, you don't need farmers anymore. You can literally do what I've referred to as full corporate farming. It's the full industrialization of farming. You've removed the farmer from the picture. You can have a corporation that's owned by someone, investors like Bill Gates, and then they just hire hired hands. And the most important part of farming is the harvest. If you blow the harvest, it doesn't matter what you did before that. And so the way you guarantee the harvest is by, again, force ripening the crop with Roundup. And that's the growth sector for Roundup sales. Glyphosate is the generic name for Roundup.
You know, it's funny. We did a show about this just a couple of weeks ago with someone who wrote a book about that very thing, glyphosate, the dangers of glyphosate, how it has increased rates of cancer.
Yes.
And now they want to put it in our food. It seems as if they ignore anything and everything, you know, that is actually harmful, but then they fearmonger about things that aren't harmful. Yeah. Let's slow down a little bit, because again, I mean, the question that I keep hearing over and over again, people, conservative friends of mine, they seem absolutely convinced that Bill Gates wants to, for the lack of a better term, cull the herd, you know, and believes in depopulation. And some of the things you've seen him say on things like, what is that video on online, could be interpreted that way, that he believes that there are too many people on the earth, and he, being the know-all God of the universe, has to decide who lives and dies. These things are diabolically frightening on so many levels. But with what we've seen of Bill Gates on video, do you, someone who's been watching this for a long time, do you believe that Bill Gates is interested in depopulation?
Oh, without doubt, yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, again, he's so brazen. He operates above board. I don't even think he cared when his wife found out that he was buddies with Jeffrey Epstein and that he'd been, you know, hanging out on a Lolita Express and all that. I just don't think he didn't bat an eye.
That is always the downfall of tyrants, and we've got so many of them, and that is they think they're invincible. And when they find out they're not, they fall, and they fall hard, which we can only hope that tyrants do. But are you telling me, Misha Popov, that Bill Gates and others are basically advocating some form of genocide?
Oh, without doubt, yeah. And it's we're always told about overpopulation, but our birth rate in the West is not even replacement level. So there's, by definition, there's no overpopulation problem anywhere in the Western world, except when you bring mass immigration into the picture. All of the overpopulation is in second and third world countries like India, and of course, the African subcontinent. So yeah, they're sort of, taking a problem that exists elsewhere, and they're sort of superimposing it upon us. And so the real goal actually isn't just depopulation and
genocide.
What is
the real goal?
Pardon me?
What is the real goal?
The real goal is to replace us with non-Christian, non-Western European. Some people say non-white, but I always like to say I'm not white. Go ahead and hold up a piece of paper. My skin is tanned. I'm beige. I'm Christian. I'm European.
They want to replace us, but for what end? I have my hunches. You tell me yours.
Well, two things. First, it's the Christian identity, which is the basis of the freedom you mentioned earlier. You know, we have to use it or lose it, right? Well, that all stems back to the Bible, freedom of speech, the Second Amendment, actually in the First Amendment, freedom of speech, but also the Second Amendment, the right to self-defense. Those all go back to the Bible. They can't have that. They'd rather have anything but that. And then, yeah, the second thing is intelligence, which I believe goes hand in hand with your spiritual belief. But for any listeners who don't buy into the whole biblical narrative, they'd rather replace us with low IQ, like we're seeing right now. Biden is bringing in transport plane loads of fighting age men from Afghanistan, and he's leaving thousands of Americans, but more to the point, he's leaving all the women and children, whatever race or nationality they are, whether they're American or Afghani. He's bringing over all these men. And I think there are a lot of intelligent people in Afghanistan. I'm not one of these racists who think only white people are smart. But he's bringing, let's face it, he's bringing the dumbest, most gullible people over. He's bringing over
people with military age and capability. Wow. While they've been emasculating men here,
exactly.
Trying to confuse children as to what gender they are, trying to tell us that they're 57 genders. So if you tell a child there is no boy and is no girl, then a male who they've been on the warpath against, American men in this country, will not be able to fight back. They'll be wearing onesies, living in mommy's basement, while the men of military age that you just talked about attack us with our own weapons. Is that a conspiracy theory, or is there some basis in fact on that?
No, you're absolutely right. As you're the term that you coined, princess by proxy, I think.
Oh, that's my God, how did you know that?
it's online.
Oh, you're reading up, aren't you? Yes, you are right.
Karen. And that's being imposed on us. And if someone like you or me says, I don't know if that's a good idea to give that kid hormone blockers. Well, you're transphobic. Mm-hmm. And the only people – now, you're not transphobic. You're worried. Nor are you and I homophobic. But the people in this world who are not only allowed to be transphobic and homophobic – and in fact, are applauded for it, are these fighting age Muslim males that are being brought over.
They
here.
Hang gay people from cranes.
Yeah.
They throw them off buildings. So I guess a lot of people could be described as useful idiots here. Useful idiots helping the exact people that aim to destroy them. And so if, let's go back to this again. If Bill Gates and others who we don't name, I call them the whomevers, have it in for us Americans, men, women, and children who are Christian, Judeo-Christian, in my case, put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian, if they have it in for us and want to destroy us, what do you think is... let me connect a few dots. You said they want to feed us bugs, but they don't want to feed everybody. It seems as if they want to starve people. So what are they going to do? Feed the plebes bugs or what?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I think we're going to face, before we get to the bugs, they're going to starve us. And whether they starve us like Stalin starved the Ukrainians.
We were talking about that off air. Stalin starved 13 million people, the greatest act of genocide probably in the modern world. And we're watching threats of that very thing. And people are going along as if, it's all okay. We're going to be fine. Right?
Yeah. And
how are they going to starve us? By upsetting the food chain?
Yeah, see, when Stalin did it, they had to go out and attack all the independent farmers. While the Holodomor is going on, Stalin was also putting farmers in jail. We think the peasants in Russia were backwards, but they had all been given their land like 25, 30 years before the revolution. The Tsar gave them their land. They basically took it away from the lords who just sat around doing nothing and gave mm-hmm. the farmers their independence. Well, that couldn't stand. You can't have independent farmers. So yeah, Stalin was killing farmers, throwing them in the gulag, but also starving the Ukrainians. And yeah, it was a lot of work. It was a lot of legwork, Karen, because all these farmers were independent. They didn't sell everything to Cargill or Archer's Daniel Midland is the biggest corn buyer. So right. Now you don't have to spread out and send armed guards out to every farm across America. You just disrupt the supply line. Mm. It's so now you can just do it by shutting down a meat processor. The meat processors have been amalgamating, like all businesses amalgamate, mergers and takeovers. So now instead of 1,000 slaughterhouses across the country, there's like 50. And I think the big one is called BSG. And well, you know, because of COVID, they decided to shut down for a couple months. Of course, they were reimbursed for that. So it didn't really cost them anything. And all of their workers got free money from the government. But then look at the price of beef now. As a result, BSG is almost exclusively a beef slaughtering, cutting and packing corporation. So yeah, when they shut down, look at that. All of the ranchers now, all of the feedlots, as you mentioned earlier, they were forced to dispose of their animals. You can't just keep feeding an animal indefinitely while you're waiting for the supply line to open back up. And so yeah, that's the difference between
these
how
urban these urban people, arrogant, ignorant people like ignoramuses like Bloomberg, who think you throw a seed on the ground, give it water, and that's all you got to do. That's how stupid they are. And, you know, when I grew up that way, it's not that stupid, I hope, but an urban person, and that's a whole other show we could do about Thomas Jefferson, who warned us not to live on top of each other in cities, and that's just what these leftist communists want to do and force people into doing. And I got so worked up, I lost track of what I was going to say.
Well, you're right. Those people like Bloomberg are not just arrogant, but they don't even understand how you produce food. So,
but they still want to control you anyway. No matter how little they understand, they still want to be lords and masters over the rest of us. My point being that it was a very easy thing for them to do 18 months ago to upset the food chain. We saw it right before our very eyes, and it was almost like an experiment of things to come. They were able not only to shut down restaurants, which they'd loathe. They don't want people to be able to go to private restaurants. They were making rules and regulations, especially in Colorado and anywhere that is Democrat-controlled, telling restaurants how many tables they could have in their restaurant, and they reserved the rules for small businesses and restaurants, the most severe kinds of restrictions. Now you're saying they're going after the supplies line directly, telling people to destroy their own farms or they'll destroy them for them. Can you talk about that? Because as you know, you read my book, or you looked at that, I wrote a book called Fatlash, and a lot of it had to do with food control of little kids, putting kids on diets. So does Michelle Obama ring a bell? Democrats never met anything that they didn't want to either control, mandate, or punish not to do. I mean, control is the main deal. So talk about that if you would. And are you seeing that there is evidence that that's really happening? The government is forcing people to destroy food?
Yeah. Yeah, as I mentioned, they'll herd pigs into a pit and shoot them, and then bulldoze it over. They're dumping milk in ditches. I heard now this was probably 8 months ago. Purdue Poultry forced its suppliers to gas 1 million chickens.
Wanting to destroy its own inventory.
They're reimbursed always. It's just like when they shut the churches down.
Bribery,
Karen,
and blackmail. bribery.
Yeah, how do you keep your building, you know, just how do you keep the lights on when you're shut down as the churches were for 6 or 8 months, depending which church you go to? Well, you get a big check from the government.
I don't think they were paying churches. They were just shutting them down. But food farmers, they can get them to destroy their own crops by paying them with taxpayer money to destroy. Remember when the left, this makes me crazy. Misha, remember when the left were lecturing all of us about feed the world, feed the hungry, hunger, hunger, hunger? Now they're contributing to starvation of people. Everything they claimed they were against, they appear now to be for.
Exactly. And they're hoping many farmers will be driven into bankruptcy. Of course, some of them are getting bailed out, but you can see this just makes it a buyer's market for, as I mentioned earlier, the Chinese corporations and Bill Gates. And they'll just go out and buy up that farmland. The farmers aren't reimbursed at a generous rate. They're reimbursed just enough, so they'll get by barely.
So with what, this is scary stuff. We only have a couple minutes. It sounds overwhelming, like we can't do anything to stop all this. You validated for us that yes, this is really happening. Misha, what can we do? What can we do about this?
Well, the good news is they're still in some sort of experimental stage. They're still probing. So, as I mentioned, Purdue got their suppliers to gas 1 million chickens. Well, then you can still get chicken at Walmart for like $1.99 a pound. It hasn't skyrocketed like beef has. Beef is a way more volatile market because it takes almost two years to raise a beef animal to market weight. A chicken, you can do it in 8 weeks. So what they're doing right now is seeing, first of all, who will play along. Like I mentioned, BSG, the largest beef processor in America, who will play along and what effect it has, how the reverberations go through the market. So that's the good news. I think they're still probing us to see what we'll do.
We're being probed, all right. That's for sure. Misha Popoff, perfect, great name. Get his book, Is It Organic? And read his stuff. Look him up. Mischa Popoff. Misha Popoff. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll have to have you back. We appreciate having you. Thanks for your time.
You bet. Have a great day.
When we come back, we will have one more guest. Stay tuned on the Power Hour Nations.
But what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries. Relieve stress and anxiety and create calmness in your life with Tranquil. Available today at thepowermall.com. For a limited time, buy one Tranquil and receive the second one absolutely free. That's right, buy one Tranquil and receive the second absolutely free at thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hurry, supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Welcome back to the final segment of the Power Hour Radio Show. Boy, it goes quick when you're having fun and you have great guests. Thank you to Catherine for arranging these terrific guests. Right on the money and so topical, so timely with things happening. So thank you to everyone at the Power Hour. Let me just tell you one more time that the Power Ball is having a sale this week. Buy one, get one on Tranquil by Dr. Matthew Pfeiffer. Sale is good while supplies last. iComplex CS is 10% off, and Optivita products are also 10% off. Just go to the Power Mall there, and you'll be able to get it. So here to kind of help us go full circle, we were talking about Afghanistan, I will learn how to say that. It is in the news, after all. But here to talk about it is Selwyn Duke, who has written for The New American. That's The New American twice this segment. Great stuff over there. For more than a decade, he's written. Also has written for The Hill, The Observer, American Conservative, WorldNet Daily, and, of course, The American Thinker. In addition, he's contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Cengage Learning and has appeared on television, a frequent guest on radio, and he's a guest of ours right now. Thank you, Selwyn Duke, for joining us here on the Power Hour Radio Show.
Thank you, Karen. It's great to be with you, and I hope I can bring some more power to the show.
That's why we have great guests such as yourself. And, you know, at the opening, as I said, we were talking about Afghanistan and all the aspects of what's going on here. And, of course, Americans are used to these things happening halfway around the world. But the first sentence of your article was so powerful at The New American. I direct our listeners to your article, Let In Millions of Refugees, left using Afghan debacle to change America's population. The first sentence says it all, but I encourage you to read it anyway. First, the globalists invaded Afghanistan. Now they want to use this as an excuse to have Afghanistan invade us. Wow. Talk about this.
Yeah, Karen. Well, look, anyone who's informed knows what's going on. It's been going on for a very long time, where the Democrats have this love affair with immigration and migration for a simple reason, because they know that most of these individuals, when they come in and they're naturalized, will vote for leftists by a very, very wide margin. I often point out, and this is a problem with our standard immigration regime to begin with, that ever since 1968, which is when the Immigration Reform and Nationality Act of 1965 took effect, 85 to 90% of our immigrants have hailed from the third world, and upon naturalization, 70, 80, or even 90% of them have voted for Democrats. So they know what they're doing. They're importing their voters.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess that's why Selwyn Duke, they didn't want any people coming from Cuba, the anti-communists, coming to this country because they know they vote Republican. I think it was Ted Cruz who said that, right?
Right. I think you're correct. Listen, I've put it this way. The Democrats couldn't care less about these people. This is all about power. If they could achieve the power they wanted, they wouldn't care if these migrants lived or died, and that's the truth. And if these people would vote Republican by the margins that they vote Democrat, let me tell you something, Karen, that border would be locked down so tight, nothing would even get through on the molecular level. You can take my word for that. But because they're importing their voters, they have this love affair with immigration. Now, here's the thing, though. When we're talking about Afghanistan, there's a lot we can unpack here. I mean, first of all, how about this? We saw this with the Syrian civil war when we saw that wave migration into Europe of millions of Muslims or hundreds of thousands, whatever the number was. We saw that Arab countries, which are very wealthy and often very sparsely populated, such as Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Oman, so on and so forth, Qatar, as they call it now. I like saying Qatar. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they won't take in their co-religionists. Now, why is that? If these Muslim people are in terrible need, why is it that these rich Muslim nations are not rallying to their aid, that instead these poor people are being shipped thousands of miles into the heart of what used to be Christendom, whether it's Europe or whether it's the United States? That's something no one ever asks. And of course, like I said, the Democrats won't ask that question because this kind of immigration benefits them. But it's very, very serious one. And
Didn't we see that George Soros supported all of that in the so-called Arab Spring, which wasn't an Arab Spring at all? To invade countries that were more than welcoming to change their populations in Europe, like Mother Merkel.
Right? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Emmanuel Macron, he actually advocated a few years back creating something that they called Your Africa, a combination of Europe with Africa. And I forget the exact number, but I think he talked about ultimately 75 million African refugees over the course of time coming into Europe. It might have been 25 million. Don't quote me on the number, but it was a massive number. And of course, this is all part of this goal to have a consolidation of powers, whether it's the European Union or whether it's a proposed North American Union, whatever it may be. But we have to remember something else. If we care about having a nation, we have to ask ourselves, well, does a given type of immigration benefit us? That always has to be the first question. And when evaluating that, Karen, we have to understand that not all immigrants are created equal. I'm sorry. Not all of them can be equally well assimilated because peoples are different. You can argue as to whether those differences have to do with nature or nurture or both. Most people today are going to insist that they're all cultural. Fine. The point is, though, they're not all equally assimilable. And when you're talking about Afghan migrants and immigrants, they may be the least assimilable of all, because you have to understand that Afghanistan is a tribal society that is rife with violence. It's a place where disputes are often settled with blood feuds. Baka Bazi, as they call it, that translates into boy play, that's ritualized pedophilia, pederasty, is very common, Karen. And the victims, they're scarred. They can grow up to become victimizers. Afghanistan is a place where daughters may be denied education. They may even be sold to settle debts. Girls might be executed for minor infractions against the tribe. Sons may be encouraged to carry out suicide attacks. I mean, it's radically different from our nation. And listen to this. This is based on a 2013 Pew Research Center survey. 99% of Afghans, not just the Taliban now, 99% of Afghans, Karen, believe that Sharia law should be the law of the land. And a vast majority, I think it was 73% or so, believe that it should apply to non-Muslims in a country as well.
Of course, that's part of the religion.
Yeah,
forgive me, but that says that they want to impose Sharia law on everyone, not just Muslims.
Right. Well, absolutely. And we've seen that all over the world. 40% of Afghans, according to Pew, believe that suicide attacks can be a legitimate method in the defense of Islam. Okay, now, I'm not just beating up on the Afghans here or on Muslims. My point is this, and I've been making it for years and years and years with respect to immigration in general. When people come here, they bring their beliefs with them, and they're not going to change just because they set foot on American terra firma, Karen. It doesn't work that way. It's not like you set foot on our land and magically you're transformed into someone who loves the founding fathers and the Constitution and is as American as apple pie. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, so when the people here have been indoctrinated not to love America and the Constitution, what do we think they're going to be teaching Afghanis who already are screaming death to America?
Well, you read my mind. I was thinking that as I was making that statement that I just made. Yes, I mean, look at our own people, how many of them hate the United States. In fact, they're in power right now in the federal government, aren't they?
They most certainly are.
They're the ones pulling the strings. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you, since, you know, it's time goes so quickly on talk radio and just getting started here, a question that I've been asking, believe it or not, since about 2010. I've asked it to a lot of different people because I saw this kind of big picture, and it was kind of a cheeky question, but not really. Given that we have had a couple of guests talking about the hardcore communists in this country who basically are using immigration, all kinds of immigration, to invade this country and to stick it to American citizens. Most of them are communists, socialists, what have you. I have asked the question, are the Islamo-fascists going to be the useful idiots of the communists, or are the communists going to be the useful idiots of the Islamo-fascists? It's a strange question, but you'd think that the forces, these two forces who are so absolute in their beliefs, would eventually come to blows, kind of like Stalin and Hitler did. First they were allies, then they weren't. You sound like just the right person that I could ask that sort of question of.
Yeah. Well, that is a very, very good question. And another possibility is that this is just going to lead to the dissolution of the United States, because the truth is we're becoming more and more balkanized all the time. And I don't just mean racially and ethnically and religiously. I mean ideologically, philosophically, culturally. I mean, the truth is, Karen, we're not just a divided people today. We're a fractured people. You can no longer ask, well, what does the American people think about this or that? Because because we don't have an American people anymore, unfortunately. We have peoples living in America, and that's part of the problem. And sure, there are those of us, there's the core of this country, that's still very, very patriotic and that loves traditional America. But, of course, we're reduced in number all the time because of low birth rates, because of immigration. But who would win this clash of cultures? I mean, that's a tough question. One thing you have to remember is, this is what the Islamists have over the left, our left, is that they actually have principle. If you look at our left, it's defined by godlessness and moral relativism. And as Emile Kammert said, the Belgian playwright, he said, when people cease to believe in God, it's not that they start to believe in nothing, it's that they'll believe in anything.
And anything.
Our leftists, yeah,
yes.
Our leftists can believe in anything, but they don't really believe deeply in anything. They just want power. That's the bottom
and
line.
They now, they could fall for anything. The point of the question is really, just as I know you understand, is the fact that you've got two very, very totalitarian forces heading for blows. Is that good news for liberty-loving people, or is it just more bad news for us all?
Yeah, I know where you're coming from. You're saying, well, are they going to fight and weaken each other and then leave the field to us? But I don't know that we can count on that. I just think this is bad all the way around. I mean, it's always bad when lies prevail in your civilization, whether it's the lie of Islamic jihadism or it's the lie of our leftism. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And we can see in Europe what's happened with the devout Muslims or the radical Muslims and the Europeans who really don't believe in much at all. They believe in shallow things, shallowly, as a writer once put it. I mean, we saw in France that there was this intellectual, Karen, a few years back, who actually proposed that they divide France in a way to avoid war with the devout Muslims there because the country is becoming so balkanized. So, like I said earlier,
well, like no,
I mean,
go
this could
zones,
just,
right? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Like no-go zones?
Well, yeah, the no-go zones are becoming greater in number, I imagine, all the time, and they're becoming more no-goist, if I can invent a term there, all the time. And by the way, let's point out something. Some years back, the left said, oh, it's terrible that you're talking about these no-go zones. Why? That's rightist propaganda. They don't exist at all. Well, guess what? Since then, Angela Merkel admitted, I think it was in 2017 or 2018, that they do in fact exist. And of course, she was the main author of the massive migration, third world migration into Europe of a few years back. Not only that, let me point out that it was the New York Times that essentially originated the no-go zone story in a 2007 article titled The Battle of the Banlieue, if my French pronunciation is decent there. You know, that's when they basically talked about the phenomenon, although they didn't use the term no-go zones. But yes, we see that. We see how the left in Europe is almost ready to capitulate. But, you know, who knows? There could be a backlash, too. My only point, Karen, about the left is that these are people who don't really have principle. And when you don't have principles, you're very, very easy to cow because there's nothing that you're willing to die for. And I like to say, you can't really live unless you've found something to die for. I don't know how many leftists are willing to die for their beliefs. So if they become weak enough, and let's say the Islamists become strong enough, they all just might capitulate. Well, hey, why not don a burqa? Why not grow a long beard? Hey, I'll still be alive, and hopefully I can live a decent life and have a few of the luxuries that I enjoyed before.
And you won't. You won't, because if you comply with tyranny, you'll just get more tyranny. But we saw this with that ridiculous pink pussycat hats that we saw when a couple days after Donald Trump, where it was stunning and amazingly awful that liberals claiming love and support for other women were standing in line to put hijabs on to support Arab women. So the Islamofascists were right there, had them waiting in line to cover up and muzzle themselves. And it is an example of what exactly you're talking about, isn't it? That they'll fall. If you don't stand for anything, If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Oh, well, that's absolutely true. I mean, if we saw what happened with the Crusades in Europe, which were actually defensive actions designed to stave off Muslim aggression, if we look at that, you have to remember these were highly principled people who didn't yield to this imperialistic Islamic force because they had principle, because they had something they could die for, because they believed that they were doing God's will. I mean, remember, at one time, Islamic forces were within 125 miles of Paris. People don't know that. This was prior to the Crusades. And that's when Charles Martel, one of the great medieval heroes of Europe, turned them back at the Battle of Poitiers, sometimes called the Battle of Tours, in 732. Mm-hmm. And had it not been for that action, Western civilization as we know it might never have existed. But these people, again, were willing to put their lives on the line. And that's just one example. Things like that have happened at other points in history as well, because, again, they had principle. You don't see that enough today because moral relativism has swept our society. I don't know, maybe
well,
you think I'm getting a little too philosophical.
By the same leftists, yeah. They planted those seeds. They know how to. They don't know how to plant a seed to grow a garden, but they certainly know how to plant the seeds of propaganda that cause people to disavow their own country. Right?
Yeah, they certainly do. They certainly do. The problem is they don't really know what they're doing. You know, these are spoiled brats. These are little children who are upset. They throw their tantrums continually. It's like they're rebelling against the parents. They don't like what is, the status quo, in other words. And whatever it happens to be at the moment, they're rebelling against it. Oh, we don't like marriage. Now all of a sudden, well, we don't like the fact there are only two sexes. So we want to say that a boy can become a girl if he wills it, you know, whatever it may be. So they know how to destroy, but they don't know where they're taking us, really. You know, as G.K. Chesterton put it,
they don't realize where they're being taken, I think one could say. Talk about useful idiots. They are useful idiots. I wrote a piece, I've just got to say this, that basically likened the kind of indoctrination you're talking about to that old story of the, remember the texting suicide case where a young woman who was really deeply troubled was encouraging and pushing an also deeply troubled guy to kill himself, which he finally did. And it seems as if the propaganda media are trying to induce Americans into killing their own country and to committing suicide. And they are too foolish to understand because they've already been indoctrinated by the people that are trying to convince them that this is a good idea.
Well, absolutely. Look, they are useful idiots. As I like to put it, they're Kronstadt sailors. I'm referring to these men who were military men before the Russian Revolution who facilitated it. But the bottom line is this. If you want to understand what modern leftism really is, okay, understand it's not an ideology. It's a process. And it's a process of what? Movement towards moral decay. That's what it really is. Once you start to understand that, everything becomes very clear. They are unmoored from anything absolute. What defines leftists, really, like I said, is moral relativism, the idea that what we call morality doesn't really exist. It's all a function of the time, the place, and the people, and everything is a matter of perspective. Everything is a matter of opinion. Despite that, though, they themselves act very authoritarian. And if you think that's a contradiction, the reason for that, Karen, is that when you really descend into relativism, what you do ultimately is you make everything relative to yourself. You become the ultimate arbiter of so-called good and evil. You start to write your ticket. And that's what happened with these people.
I would argue that the moral decay that the leftists who've been trying to push us towards communism, socialism, et cetera, that has permeated cultural rot in this country. Just look at Hollywood and how bad guys are elevated and good guys are now the bad guys. Everything is twisted on its head. Is to weaken America and make America ripe for the kind of takeover that we've been talking about from people who do know what they stand for, Islamofascists and communists. If you can weaken men to not know what gender they are, then, as I've said, I hate to be repetitive, they're going to be much less formidable on the battlefield when Afghanis between the ages of 18 and 26 are moved into this country. Am I right?
Well, you're absolutely right. And I should really clarify something here, Karen. You can't paint everyone, even on the left, with the same brush. There are different people with different motivations. When I was talking about these people who are spoiled brat children who are indulging moral decay and pushing us in that direction, I was talking about the useful idiots and even a lot of the people at the lower levels pulling the strings. But there are other people, let's say like Kamala Harris and many others, who are power mongers. They're megalomaniacs, and all they want is power by any means necessary. And if they have to reduce America to ashes to rule over it, they will, because they'd rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. That's the bottom line. And understand something. Once these people achieve the power they want and they have total control, all this other stuff that undermines and destabilizes society will go out the window, because they're not going to want their power threatened. That means they're not going to be inviting in millions of immigrants and refugees. They're not going to be encouraging moral decay insofar as it destabilizes society and threatens their kingship.
And now they're
understand that.
I hate to, to tell you, we have to wrap up the show, and I did not get to talk, ask the $32,000 question, what can we do to stop this? So we're going to have you back, because I want to talk about that. We can't just complain.
I can't
we have
win
to talk
my $32,000 now.
Forgive me. I was dying to. We were just getting started here, and I really do have to wrap up the show. So I'm going to ask Catherine to please book you again so that we can, if possible. Is there any good news on the horizon, real quickly?
Well, the good news is that God exists, truth exists. We can know God, we can know truth, and we can spread truth. And if we do that effectively enough, we'll start to change things.
Best answer ever. Thank you for doing it so quickly. Thank you for your time, Selwyn Duke. Look him up at The New American. That about does it for this edition of the Power Nation. Power Hour Radio Hour, I should say. But it's not the Power Hour Radio Hour. It's 2 hours. Karen Cataline with you. I'm just getting into the saddle here on Wednesdays and Fridays on the Power Hour Radio program. Thank you for joining us. Please, by all means, call if you can. I mean, call in or visit my website, KarenCataline.com, and write me and let me know what things you'd like to see on this, on these 2 hours, Wednesdays and Fridays. Thanks to everyone at the Power Hour Nation, and be well, be strong.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.